listening to Health Center in the Catskills on WIOX Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program. I'm here with my sister-in-law, April Essenois, who had some very good questions there in that last segment, April. This stuff hopefully is relevant to many people. And
I hope you wrote those websites down, because I'm looking those up when we get home.
Good, I will. I did. But now we want to switch gears a little bit and think about the health of children in our schools. I recently learned about an anti-government extremist group called Moms for Liberty that is opposed to public schools and is calling for the removal of school nurses and any health services from public schools. I was actually stunned by this. For decades, nurses and others, teachers, including teachers, in fact, there was an LA teacher strike some years ago, and one of the things they were striking over is they wanted nurses in every school. And so we've been fighting for people to understand the importance of a child's health to their success in school. Now, I know that this is just one part of the opposition of Moms for Liberty to anything supported by government, including public schools, but I wanted to remind listeners of why the availability of some health services in schools is so essential. And I could think of no one more qualified to address this than Jane Hamilton, a registered nurse and manager of the Bassett Health System school-based health centers. And Jane, thank you for being so patient after we had to cancel 2 weeks ago when I couldn't get you on the air. Thank you for your patience and coming back on today.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
So talk a little bit about if you know, as questions are being raised about why schools should have school nurses or school health services, what would you say to people?
Well, I think it's probably important to look back in history. So the kind of the notion of school nurses began in the very early 1900s. And the purpose at that time was really threefold. One is to help kids with just personal hygiene. It was to monitor and help with infectious diseases, because we were in a very different place then. And it was to help with absenteeism. So as time has evolved, though, and we're so thankful today, no child is excluded from school because of health concerns. So there are many children in school today with pretty significant health conditions that they can safely stay in school because they have, a registered nurse, a health professional that can help keep them safe and healthy. So I really think, the one-liner is school nurses really promote a healthy, safe school environment. And I think, from what we just came through the past few years, it's just paramount. I mean, it just totally makes sense. But again, we have a lot of children in school these days with a lot of conditions that they really need a health professional there that can help keep them safe.
And when I think about, if you're talking about a high school and everyone's, we're seeing national reports of high-profile professional ball players who get hit very hard and they have a cardiac arrest. And you would think that you would want somebody there who could actually respond to that kind of a crisis and other kinds of emergencies in addition to, helping people who need help every day. So what do we know about the connection between the child's health and their success in school?
Well, it's very clear, and there's a lot of research out on that, one, we want to keep children in their seats in this classroom. So if we can keep them healthy, and many times absenteeism, every kiddo will get the stomach bug and they need to stay home a day, but much of it circles around and it's kind of related to behavioral or mental health issues, right? They have anxiety, they're depressed, they're worried. And so the school nurse can really help with all that. You know, they can help, they can chat with the parents, they can help the teachers understand, discuss different strategies. And so if we can keep the kids in the seat, the teachers, it's then they're golden. They know what to do. But it's when you have those kids that are not in present in school, it's really hard to teach them.
Mm. And of course, if I'm not feeling well, I'm not going to be as alert. I'm not going to be as attuned to learning. You know, even if I am in that seat, if I feel like there's nothing else I can do but stay in my seat.
Right. Or if you can't see the board because no one has screened your vision, or you can't hear the teacher because your hearing hasn't. So those are all just requirements of the school nurse. Everybody gets their hearing and vision. It sounds so fundamental, but, you know, they'll discover, so like, well, of course Johnny is not doing well in math. He hasn't been able to see the board the last 6 months.
Yeah. So you just described, I think most people, when they think of school nurse, it's who you run to for a Band-Aid. But yet you've just described several roles that people probably don't think of that a school nurse plays. What else do school nurses do?
You know, they also really help, you know, they provide a lot of health education and health promotion, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, they are good record keepers and help parents understand the importance of immunizations. There are requirements in New York State that children have to have certain immunizations. They can help families connect with health insurance. In New York State, there's no reason every child should have health insurance, and that's been for years and years, way before the Affordable Care Act, New York State had a program called Child Health Plus. Mm-hmm. So they're able to connect them with both outside of school services and inside school services.
Yeah. So that's a school nurse, but you head up a network of school-based health centers. Talk about what those are and how they're different than simply having a nurse in a school in an office.
Sure. So our school-based health centers, the best way to think about it is taking a pediatric clinic and putting it in the school. But it's actually a little better. So a school-based health center is staffed by an advanced practice clinician, a nurse practitioner, a physician assistant, a mental health clinician. We also have dental hygienists. Some of our sites, we have dentists, we have pediatricians. So we really become many of the children's primary care health providers. They come to us. We're open. The school-based health center is open today. We're in the middle of August. We have school-based health centers open all summer long. They'll be open around the holidays. So we're kind of a one-stop shop. We do the annual exams. We provide immunizations. We take care of the sore throats. We prescribe medication for strep throats or whatever else the illness is. We help manage chronic illnesses like asthma, anxiety, depression, ADHD. We do a lot of health promotion. We do a lot of oral health care. You know, dental caries are the most common chronic illness among children.
Wow,
but
really?
it's so preventable, right? Oh, yeah. So it's getting those sealants on the teeth, and our dental hygienists right in the schools can do that.
Wow. So do primary care providers, of course, we don't have very many in this county, but the primary care providers who are there, do they see this as competition with their practice?
You know, I think some might, but the research really tells us that small children go to the pediatrician or their provider pretty regularly, but as they get older, they don't. Mm-hmm. They would go and maybe have their sports physical at school, which is really a health screening, not a physical. So those kids, they probably aren't seeing anyway, and we're able to see them. We are happy to share our records with them, and we hope vice versa with releases from parents. So a lot of children and families may choose to keep their physician, but they use us for kind of the acute stuff, you know, the day-to-day, the sore throat, the sprained ankle, the flu shot, those kind of things. But they still want to keep an anchor somewhere with a physician, and that's fine. We work both ways. We can become their primary care provider, but we're more than happy to work and collaborate with their own provider.
And so this is not an automatic thing in schools. How is it, and not all schools in our region have a school-based health center. Margaretville Central School does not, although they're highly interested in one. So how is it that these school-based health centers become a part of a school?
Sure. So in our system, schools come to us, the superintendent, the school nurse, school boards, community members, and they would come to us, usually me, and say, you know, we'd be really interested. Then we'll give a presentation, kind of explain what it is about, because the schools have to have space for us, because we are a clinic, so we need all the space you would have that would look like your doctor's office, so to speak. And so they need to provide us with the space, and then there's plenty of remodeling that needs to be done. So there is an expense to it. But we try to come up with different sources of funding, both the school and we have different sources than schools do. They have, you know, access to education money. We have access to healthcare money.
So. Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the funding. So so obviously there's startup costs, but once you've, and that I'm assuming was what you were just talking about, that you yes. can access some funds, the school often can access some funds through education sources. But once it's up and running, how is it paid for?
Right. So we build children's insurance if they have insurance. And again, we work hard to have them all have insurance. But we only can collect what the insurance pays us. So there's no balance billing. We also, per New York State guidelines, do not collect any co-pays.
Now, what balance billing is.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
So if a child comes in and has a physical with us, and we charge, we'll say, $100 for their physical, but their insurance pays us $50, that's where it ends. They're not going to get a bill for that other $50. Mm. I think a real good example is our mental health services. So many insurance plans have a limit on how many times a child or a patient can see their mental health clinician. Maybe it's 10 times a year, 12 times a year. We will do that, but we'll continue to see them. If they need to be seen every week, that's what's best for that child. We'll see that child. So to cover those expenses, we have other outside funding that helps cover that. But The takeaway is there is no out-of-pocket cost to families for the services we provide on site. If it looks like a child has a broken arm and they need to go to a hospital for an x-ray, they're going to have to, you know, take care of that. And that's why we work hard to make sure children are insured, because insurance will pay for that. But if you don't have insurance and you walk into an emergency room, you're going to end up with big bills.
So do the schools have to pay out for that balance billing of sorts, you that if the child's health insurance doesn't cover the full visit, do you make that up with the school kicking in some funds?
So after the first 3 years is where we kind of find those grants and outside funding. After the first 3 years, the school will have some fiscal responsibility. But what we do is we also replace the school doc. So now schools are paying, without a school-based health center, they're paying some practitioner to come in to do sports physicals and grade-mandated physicals. They don't need to do that anymore. We will do that for them. So there's a little savings there. There is a little bit more of cost, but we have a lot of research that shows if we're in a school, kids are going to be absent less. They're going to go to the emergency room less. They're going to be more attentive. We provide the mental health services there. So it's a great investment for the school.
And Jane, you said something earlier that was, I didn't know, and that was that when school is not in session, the school-based health centers stay open?
That's correct. So all of our school-based health centers are recognized as patient-centered medical homes. And so you need to be able to see your provider, your practitioner, whenever you're not feeling well. So all summer long, we have a total of 21 school-based health centers in four counties. So there was always like one or two open in each county every day. So children can go between health centers. So if their school-based health center was closed today, but the one down the road was open, they could go see that go be seen down there, because we all use a common electronic medical record, so the records were available.
Great. Now, what if I'm a family member, if I'm a parent? Can I use the clinic? Mm-hmm. Center?
No, you can't. Okay. The New York State guidelines are very clear. We can only care for children enrolled in the school, so we also can't take care of the two-year-old brother that's home and also has a sore throat. We can only take care of those enrolled in school.
Interesting. All right, so Bassett's operating these school-based health centers. There are other health systems in our county, and they don't operate them. Why does Bassett do this? Other than you've been a wonderful advocate for it.
Yeah. You know, it really fits the mission of Bassett perfectly, right? It's providing easy access to high-quality care. Education is part of the mission. We often have medical students, nurse practitioner students, nursing students, all kinds of students coming through for an experience. It makes sense. It is true population health, right? We're taking care of the whole population in a school community.
Right. And now, can teachers use it?
No. They may not.
Okay. And if a teacher wasn't feeling well, would they have to leave, or could they? So you replace the school nurse, is that right?
No. And that's a great question. No, we do not. There's also a school nurse there, and they really are they're our best partner in the school. There's no one in a school, I would say, that probably knows every family and every child better than a school nurse. So they can help kind of refer kids to us. They give us insights of things we might not know what's going on with families to help us care better for the children. But the school nurse is absolutely there.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Okay, so what kind of support do you get from the communities that are being served where these schools are located?
You know, we have community advisory groups, which we're always wanting input and information and how are we doing. But really the most important thing is if we have a school-based health center open in a school, we need the school community to use it, because it will not survive if they don't. We haven't experienced any problem with that. We're actually going to open our 22nd school-based health center in the fourth quarter here in a couple of months. And as soon as we open that and that kind of makes the press, we'll get five other schools that calling us, telling us they would like a school-based health center, asking us for that. So, you know, I think the schools, the best thing communities can do is communicate with us. When they hear things like, what are you doing up there? They just need to ask us, because the rumors can just run rampant, and we are happy. We're very transparent. And it's just that we're all on the same page.
Yeah. And so here we're located in Roxbury. So does Roxbury School have one? Are you in Roxbury School?
We are not.
And you're not in Margaretville. What's the closest school you're in?
Probably Stanford, South Courtright, Delhi. Those would probably be the closest ones. Delhi was our first one. We're coming up. We opened 31 years ago in Delhi.
Wow. So why is it that some schools think this is important, others haven't figured it out yet?
That's a tough one. Sometimes it has to do with the resources in the community. So if there are communities that have a few more, have some health care available, there are some school administration that this just isn't as important as it is to others. I think seeing is believing. Like, I can tell you all about it, but until you come and see one, it's hard to really understand that. And I've had that experience with many legislators over the years. Like, we can talk to them, and once I actually get them in the building, they're like, oh, this is like a doctor's office.
If somebody wanted, first of all, if somebody wants more information about Bassett School-Based Health System, health centers, how can they find that?
Yeah, well, they could go on to Bassett.org, and we have information on our website, and then, or they could just call the 1-800-BASSETT number, and then they'll get them in touch with me.
Okay, and if somebody's listening and would like, you know, is on a school board that doesn't have a school-based health center, can they reach out to you that way and talk with you about? Okay. Okay. Great.
Absolutely.
Well, this is, it's really important. You've been a wonderful advocate for this, and it's so important to the health of our children and their success in schools. And I want to just publicly thank you, Jane, for all the great work you've done on this. We've been talking with Jane Hamilton, a registered nurse and manager of Bassett Health System's school-based health centers. And one more time, what's the website for them to find out more about this?
It's
www.bassett.org. Bassett.org, and you'll find school-based health centers on there?
Yes, you
okay.
will. Okay. It's a tab in there. Even if you just Google us, you'll find us. Well, yeah.
Great. Thank you so much, Jane Hamilton.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah. She's amazing and has just contributed so much to our communities. And April Essenwa, as we wrap this up, when you were a child, did you have a school nurse?
We did have a school nurse. I can't remember her name, but I was just remembering this because I remember whenever I got sick at school, of course, that's the first place that the teacher would send us down to the school nurse, and then she would call my mother who would come and get us. But I also remember our school nurse, I had already started my menstrual cycle, but I remember in the sixth grade, they took all the girls out of the class, and the school nurse sold us all a film.
Oh, yes, I remember the film.
And I was just remembering that while she was talking. I'm like, oh, my God, I remember that.
Yes.
The school nurse. But I also know I was just, so one of my neighbors where I live at in St. Louis, we were talking, and she's a teacher, and she was just talking about how, you know, some kids, and I think she teaches like first and second grade, and how sometimes they might potty on themselves.
Yeah.
But the school nurse has like extra clothing in her office at the school that she teaches, as in case a kid has an accident, they can go to the nurse's office and, you know, get cleaned up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's nice. Yeah. You know, I never would have thought of that.
Yeah.
But I thought, that's a nice thing. Because, you know, the kid is embarrassed in the first place. And the teacher was like, I discreetly send them out of the room. And she's like, I send them on a mission. And then I get him in the hallway and say, I think you need to go to the nurse's office.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, these days, school nurses more and more are seeing not just the individual child as the who they are serving, but the whole school, creating healthy environment, a healthy school environment, and looking at things like social care needs, the social determinants of health, if somebody's not having adequate housing or access to healthy food, and being an advocate for all that we know that affects health. So the school nurses are just incredibly important, and for those who are school nurses or who know a school nurse out there, please give the school nurses your deep gratitude, and I give mine to every school nurse out there for all the great work you're doing. Well, I've been really happy to have April Essenwa join me today in the studio. April, you'll have to come back.
I will.
Good. Good. And you've been listening to Health Cetera in the Catskills. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program. We're on WIOX Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains. Have a great day.